Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Fertility Answers podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Chappell, double board certified reproductive endocrinologist and infertility specialist practicing with Fertility Answers in South Louisiana. And we're bringing you yet another podcast in our series. This is a little bit of a different flavor. Typically, we focus on a common topic or a common question or things that we really feel like our patients in general need to know from a fertility standpoint. Unfortunately, that's not going to be the topic of this conversation. We have in the midst of ourselves a very timely and concerning development from the state of Alabama that we want to take a little bit of time and spend to really give you a better foundation understanding of where we are now and what this might mean for the future of reproductive options for families. So I'm joined by my partner, an esteemed guest, Dr. John Stormont, who you have seen on this podcast before. He's the founding member of Fertility Answers and been a mentor and friend for me for quite some years. And we're gonna sit down and kind of talk together as reproductive specialists about what this means for building families in this really concerning and honestly confusing time. I'd like to start by just catching folks up to what the heck is going on. We're getting a lot of questions, but as I've reached out to folks in the political side and other patients, some patients are still like, wait, what are you talking about? So a few couples in Alabama sued a fertility clinic there for loss of their embryos. We don't know the full extent of what happened, but allegedly someone was in the room where the embryos were stored who was not authorized to be there. And that allegedly resulted in the destruction of several embryos that belonged to these three couples. They sued for that occurrence. And the Alabama Supreme Court, in so many words, said that they could sue for murder as the embryos represented persons and actual people. We at Fertility Answers believe that it is absolutely true that embryos do represent the potential for life. They represent the potential to become persons. But a sweeping statement that all embryos are people is a very complicated thing to say. And it's our opinion that the judges maybe had good intentions, but did not really understand fully what they were saying. And so John and I wanted to jump on a conversation and record it for our patients to provide some information and hopefully some reassurance about where we stand here in Louisiana. So John, why don't you kind of take it away and talk a little bit about this incidence and the how we think about the safety of all the precious embryos that our patients have.
Thanks, Neil. I agree. I think that this is a tragedy in a sense, because it's taken something that's relatively straightforward, and this was a really bad incident to happen. And as a lot of my patients have called, I thought they were wanting to talk to me about, hey, you know, what is a definition of an embryo or a person or this? And what they really wanted to know is how safe are my embryos? And could this happen in Lafayette or in Baton Rouge? And we've had a couple of actually podcasts and little videos that we've posted over the years, just kind of introducing people to what the IVF lab looks like. I've had patients who've asked me, hey, can I go back there and see where they are? And I'm like, I'd love to let you go back there, but we can't let anybody go back there because, number one, you're breaking, you know, all the rules of trespassing on, you know, other people's embryos. And number two, it's a really, really controlled environment. So let's just review what steps we've done to protect our lab, not as a result of this, but what we've always done.
Right.
So the lab in Lafayette is in a self-contained building. It's a separate office. It's a little bit different than Baton Rouge. And so because of that, we have like protection. We have a code lock for the outside doors. We have cameras throughout the hallways, not of course in the private areas, but we have throughout the hallways, and they're on 24/7 and they're monitored 24/7. And then we have two double coded locks. So they're only the embryologist and myself know the code to where the embryos are. And when you enter the code, they know who's going in. And of course, you're on candid camera as well. So everybody sees who goes in. So I won't say it's impossible because I watch too many Mission Impossible shows that they can get through anything. So I'm sure it's possible to get in, but I can't imagine how they would get in without being detected. And because of that, we feel really good that our embryos are safe, and the potential for a random person to walk in and go straight to a tank, open it, and discard an embryo or a group of embryos is just not possible. And so from that standpoint, it's and we have similar precautions in Baton Rouge, probably a little bit more because it's in the medical office building, and that yeah. provides an extra layer of security. You can't get into that after hours without a badge, without signing in. And so I just want everybody to know first that your embryos are protected, whether they're about to be used for transfer or whether they're about to be used for long-term storage and shipped out or whatever. And I want y'all to feel that we're really, really cognizant of people in our office who are not employees. You know, we have exterminators have to sign in, other vendors have to sign in. And so we know who's in our office, and we try to really be cognizant of that. So just a layer of comfort knowing that as we go into this discussion about embryos, that your embryos at Fertility Answers, and probably in almost every other fertility clinic in the country, I think this is a big aberration of normal. This is, doesn't happen. Obviously, it doesn't happen often because this has become a big court case. So just a thought on that. And I think that I think you should feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, that the 24/7 security coded locks. I don't even know the code to our rooms for our embryology. I have no business being in there, you know. Right. So the extremely limited foot traffic, any guests or vendors or honestly patients are escorted through the building at all times during working hours. And when we're not working hours, there's security on the premises as well. And like you said, video surveillance of the public spaces during the time. So it is paramount importance that we protect the sanctity of embryos. And I think that that's appropriate point to say, okay, well, how do we really think about an embryo? Regardless of what your religious or political affiliations or beliefs are, the biology of an embryo, we've known for a very long time. And we've learned a whole lot over the last 50 years or 40 plus years of doing IVF. An embryo is when an egg and a sperm fertilize together to create a body of cells that are dividing. This happens in the body, in the fallopian tube. So fertilization happens at the very end portion of the fallopian tube after ovulation, and then the fertilized egg, the embryo, is carried across the fallopian tube to the uterus to implant about a week later. The same thing is done with IVF. It's just that those early dividing stages of days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, those happen in the lab prior to an embryo transfer. These embryos are incredibly precious, and they represent the potential for life. But what we know from firsthand experience from thousands of patients and frankly millions of babies at this point is most embryos do not result in a pregnancy. Most fertilized eggs will undergo what we call attrition or atresia, and arrest development and not result in pregnancies. And that is just a fact of the limitations in human reproduction.
That's true also in nature, right, Neil? It's like, you know,
yeah.
Without the IVF lab, the egg and sperm, you know, unite in the fallopian tube, and the vast majority, I think the potentially 75-90% of fertilized eggs, you know, don't end up implanted. They end up washed out in a period or very, very early miscarriage. And so from that standpoint, we're very inefficient reproducers. But by no means does a fertilized egg equal anything but potential.
Yeah, that's a really valid point. What I always tell my patients is if Joe and Jane love each other very much and they're living together and they're paying their taxes and they're doing everything right, their chance for actually achieving a pregnancy is 18%. Does that mean that 82% of, I mean, that means that 82% of the time they're not pregnant. But that doesn't mean that 82% of the time a sperm and an egg isn't fertilized. Sperm and egg fertilize all the time.
Yep.
It's just that they don't often result in a pregnancy. And so just to say that embryos are children is falling short of the fact that most embryos will not become children. They represent a very true potential for life. And that is really important to respect. And it's very important to appreciate. And frankly, I mean, I would say that nobody appreciates that more than fertility doctors, because with each embryo transfer, with each cycle of treatment, we want to capture the entirety of the potential of whatever embryo is created in that cycle, so that our patients are pregnant efficiently, quickly, and healthy to get out of our clinic. Our job is to get patients pregnant and out of our clinic in a safe, efficient, and healthy manner. So nobody appreciates the sanctity of the embryo more than we do, because by golly, that's how we grade how well we're doing. But at the same time, we also have to recognize the limitations of human reproduction, and calling all embryos children, there are a whole lot of potential downstream consequences for that I, in my optimistic faith of human nature and people, think that the judges just weren't considering. And so, you know, I think we've conveyed the majority of the important information that we wanted to convey here with our conversation, but I thought we would just end on a few things of saying, like, this is some of the downstream consequences of saying that all embryos are extrauterine children. That means that any miscarriage could be construed as manslaughter, because unfortunately, if an embryo is a child and a woman has a miscarriage, if you can't prove that that miscarriage was by natural means, then someone could charge that woman with manslaughter.
She could smoke a cigarette and they could attribute the miscarriage to that, and a woman could be held criminally liable for a bad event that happened in her life that she had no control over.
A thing that happens with 15% of all pregnancies, right, and is not her fault, but yet she could go to jail for manslaughter if that is a child and someone subject to criminal charges. And so that's silly. I mean, should we be claiming all the embryos that we create as dependents on our taxes? I'm sure Uncle Sam didn't think about that when the judges issued this ruling.
And yeah, how about inheritance? You know, you have two living children and three embryos is your big estate split two ways or five ways. And we're not making fun or being silly. These are all the consequences of, I think, a very irresponsible judge or judges making a point, and they're just not thinking, because this is very impactful to the people of Alabama, and it's very disrespectful to the one in six couples in Alabama who are infertile, who might need IVF as a means of conception, and now probably will not have that option, at least for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, you're right. We're not being silly, but the downstream ramifications, the consequences, if you extrapolate out, okay, embryos are extrauterine children,
yeah,
the natural logical consequences of that, when you say them out loud, they are silly. Of course, I mean, I hope no one would indict a woman for having a miscarriage as manslaughter or even murder. But that's what that means. And, you know, I was thinking last night, okay, if they're, by their logic, an embryo is a child, it just needs to go through a few more steps, implantation and pregnancy and then birth, and now it's a child, right? So if an embryo is a child who just needs to go through a few extra steps, well, heck, a judge is just a lawyer that needs to go through a few extra steps. So if we follow their logic, all lawyers are judges. They're just extra bench judges. And so, like, to overthrow the Supreme Court ruling in Alabama, heck, all we need to do is just get a lawyer to step up and say, because if an embryo can be a child, you know,
right,
skipping all the steps that they need to go through for actual birth, then any lawyer is a judge. I mean, it's just the consequences of their logic is just, it is silly. It's sad and it's scary and it's silly. And so I don't want to belabor the point now, because frankly, we're at a place that we don't know all these ramifications. We don't know how this is going to play out. But we at Fertility Answers, John and I, are paying really close attention to the legislation and to just honestly the climate of the country as we kind of, as a country and as a people kind of wrestle with these ideas of the importance of respecting the sanctity of life, which of course we are for respecting life, but B, also respecting a patient's, a woman's right to her reproductive choice and to her right to strive for a healthy pregnancy and family building options that are out there. I mean, this, at a certain point, you have to recognize this is science. This is what we're doing is medicine like anything else. If you have a broken bone, no one is contesting someone's right to a splint. You know, if you have a cold, no one is contesting your right to antibiotics. If you have infertility, which is a recognized disease by the World Health Organization and the CDC, then you should have right to treatment, right to treatment with it's not dictated by someone who did not go to medical school. And so
we have right now a big problem, is that's really possible for another podcast, I think, would be the access to care. And the access to care in Alabama is better than Louisiana. They have more reproductive endocrinologists in Alabama, but not that many, maybe 15 or 16 in Alabama. We have maybe 6 or 7 in Louisiana. And so right now we struggle with patients having access to care because either they don't have insurance for it or they can't afford it. That's already horrible. But now to put this law to make it more inaccessible is a tragedy for our friends in Alabama. And what we're going to try to do, just as a foreshadowing, we're going to try to be pretty proactive and work with legislators to see if we need legislation to secure a more safe environment for IVF in Louisiana, whatever that means. We're not lawyers, but we certainly are going to talk with some to try to protect our patients in the state so that they're not subject to similar kind of goofy legislation that, quite honestly, if this legislation, if this Supreme Court were really doing what they should be doing, the problem with what happened is there was a problem with the security of their clinic and of their lab. So the fixing of this is not making them children. The fixing is to make embryology labs more secure, right? So they lost their focus. And I think they got political and they wanted to try to apply this to abortion laws. And that's how they've lost focus on this. And so you need to take it for what it's worth. It does not mean you're pro-life or pro-choice or whatever the verbiage is. You have to be aware that this really bad legislation and bad decision is going to impact people of Alabama for a long time. And we're trying really hard to prevent that from happening to our patients in Louisiana.
Yep. Yeah. Amen. So we will be keeping you posted as more developments occur and we learn more about what this means for Alabama and just the America in general. But we appreciate everybody staying tuned. If you would like to learn more or even help out as we try and figure out what to do to protect our patients and really everybody in America, you can check out ASRM, the American Society of Reproductive Medicine, or resolve.org. Those are really great nonprofit organizations that are trying to help people with their family building rights, as well as just stay tuned on our website and on our media outlets as well as we kind of figure out what to do from here. John, thanks. I appreciate your time. I hope you enjoy the weekend and let's go get after it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.